Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, everybody, on this Thursday afternoon. It's a pleasure to be joined by presidential candidate Andrew Yang, who's good enough to join us. Obviously, we are just weeks away from the Iowa caucus. We are just days away from another debate. And Andrew Yang has exceeded almost everyone's expectations still in this race. And national polls, about 3.5 to 4%, just brought in $16.5 million for the fourth quarter in earnings and in donations. Excuse me, Andrew. Thanks for your time. You obviously have had greater success than most. As you look at it today, can you realistically say you still think you can win this nomination?
Well, Chad, we all know that it's up to the caucus goers in Iowa on February 3rd, who's going to move forward in this race. And I am thrilled to be in this position where we are growing faster than any other campaign. The crowds in Iowa at our events have been bigger and more excited than ever. We believe we're going to grow and peak at the right time and make history on February 3rd.
So let's talk about the last few months and the success you have. The New York Times has an observation today by Matt Stevens that for a lot of people who are observing your rise, it was younger individuals who are in tune with some of your ideas. But Stevens writes, after attending a number of your appearances in Iowa of late, that it is a more diverse group, including older individuals. And some of the numbers early showed that you weren't resonating as much in that area. Why do you think you have found the way to appeal to a broader group over the last couple months?
Well, Chad, I've been talking about the issues that people in Iowa and Minnesota can see around you every day. The fact that we blasted away 40,000 manufacturing jobs in Iowa alone that devastated many manufacturing towns. And the fact that now 30% of our stores and malls are closing because Amazon is soaking up $20 billion in business every year and paying zero in taxes. And so older people in Iowa and Minnesota can see that we're not doing right by them, we're not doing right by their kids or their families, and we have to rewrite the rules of the 21st century economy so that it works for the people right there in Iowa and Minnesota. Instead of having their main streets all close and get sucked dry by a $1 trillion tech company that's literally paying zero in taxes.
You have talked about those points all throughout the campaign. I don't hear as many other candidates talking about this. Some have heard this, and you gave a little bit of an answer in my previous question. But if you could do two things that would help on the automation side, on the side of giant companies just getting bigger and bigger, to look at the economy, because in many ways, not all, but in many ways, the economy is flourishing. If you do become the next president and you have that opportunity, give me your top two ways to help in those areas.
Number one, we have to make it so that we're all in position to benefit from the progress and innovation that's taking place in other parts of the economy. And the most direct and effective way to do this is through a freedom dividend of $1,000 a month in the hands of every American adult. This would be a game changer for millions of families, make us stronger, healthier, mentally healthier, and build a trickle-up economy so that everyone feels included. The second thing I would do, Chad, is that we need to start measuring our economy around things that actually mean something to us. Corporate profits are at record highs while life expectancy has declined for the last 3 years. And which do you think is more important to people in Iowa and Minnesota?
Sure.
I would change our economic measures to be how our kids are doing, mental health and freedom from substance abuse, proportion of Americans who can retire in quality circumstances, clean air and clean water. If you have the measurements wrong, you'll never make progress. The problems are real. Corporate profits and how people are doing are very, very different things.
So let me ask you about the dividend, because that is the issue that has come up the most with you. You talked about $1,000 a month for everybody. Let me tie this to Medicare for All, which Elizabeth Warren, Elizabeth Sanders, and some of the other competitors have talked about, and others, myself included, have said it's just not realistic to think you were going to get that right away. In fact, many moderate Democrats don't want any part of it. If you end up winning this and you run into pushback from Democrats who'll say they want a means testing on this, are you willing to accept the compromise that this $1,000 would not get to everybody, including folks who are viewed as more affluent?
Well, there are different ways that we can try and balance the economy to work for people. I favor a dividend that I think would be the most direct and powerful. But the earned income tax credit has done a great deal of good for many, many American families. One conclusion Jamie Dimon came to is that we need a negative income tax in this country, which is that everyone below a certain income level gets trued up to that level. I would never be someone who would stand in the way of eradicating poverty and improving millions of Americans' lives. I favor a dividend, but if someone came in and said we should do a negative income tax, I would be very happy to sign that into law.
Andrew Yang is kind enough to join us, presidential contender. The Iowa caucuses are not far away, folks. They are February 3rd. So let's talk about next week's debate. You know this better than me. Five candidates have already qualified. You've qualified on the donor side. You eclipsed that by a large margin. The deadline to qualify is tomorrow. The criteria for folks listening right now, if they don't know it, four different polls, either in the early states or nationally, at 5% or more. Two polls in New Hampshire, South Carolina, and Iowa, I believe it is, where 7% or more. You have 24 hours to get this done. How realistic is it for you to qualify for next Tuesday? And if you don't, what does that do to your candidacy? Because that debate is taking place in Iowa.
Well, Chad, we would be in phenomenal position. We already would have qualified if they just run more polls in the early states. We went 50 days without a poll. So the polls haven't been there. We still expect to qualify, but I'm thrilled that we can talk directly to people in Iowa, which we've been doing, again, to bigger crowds than ever, higher energy. The people in Iowa want to size up candidates up close and see whose vision they should support and take to the rest of the country on February 3rd. The debate is a great opportunity, but there are many other opportunities, and Iowans can just come right to one of our events and shake my hand, ask me a question, and that's the way we're going to make this case to the rest of the country on February 3rd.
Are any more polls, either nationally in those states or Iowa, expected to come out in the next 24 hours, which would give you a chance to qualify?
So, Chad, you've just asked the big question. Where have the polls been? What is going on? And if you ask me, the candidate, do I know something that you do not? No, we don't get notified either.
Okay.
So we've been in the dark. It's one reason why I've expressed some degree of concern about the way the rules are laid out, because it's very hard to qualify if there aren't any polls.
Let's talk about some of the most important decisions that are taking place in Washington, D.C. The most important job as a president is commander-in-chief, keeping the country safe. Do you agree with the decision the president made last week to kill Soleimani? And what sort of information on the imminent threat do you think the public needs to hear in evaluating this decision?
I was one of the first candidates to say that it was a mistake to kill General Soleimani, because it was a disproportionate response to everything that had preceded it. And it should not be the United States that is elevating tension and conflict and the potential for war. The fact is 75% of Americans are against war with Iran. And our Constitution says very clearly it is an act of Congress, power of Congress, to declare war. I would return the power to declare war to Congress where it belongs and pull us back from these forever wars. I would not have killed General Soleimani because I believe it was disproportionate to what the provocation had been leading up to it.
There obviously, as you well know, there were a number of individuals who spoke out yesterday after the full House and full Senate were briefed on this, including, you know, Republican Senators Mike Lee and Rand Paul, who said the information was not there. But let me try the opposite side. Let's say the information was there, or if you saw it, you would have believed the presentation. And Soleimani was literally days away from potentially killing more and more Americans, but also knowing the potential long-term implications. What do you do then?
Well, it was a national security expert, Brett McGurk, who said this. General Soleimani himself personally would never be executing the mission or the commands. If there was an imminent threat, then those actors, those cells would already be in place and be activated. So obviously, as Commander-in-Chief, if I need to act in order to save American lives, I will act. But in this case, if there was an imminent threat, it's not that General Soleimani himself would be carrying them out, and the actors already would have been in place. We need to manage our international relations in a way that doesn't pull the rug out from under our allies, doesn't surprise them, and does not provoke greater conflict, but instead invests in diplomacy and our historic alliances.
Last thing on impeachment. Nancy Pelosi's held off sending over impeachment. She wants a fair trial. Obviously, many Democrats, including Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, said the same thing about wanting witnesses. Right now, it appears Mitch McConnell and other Republicans have not moved at all. Do you think it's now time, after weeks of trying to negotiate, for the Speaker and others to send impeachment over to the Senate?
I do. I believe that any of the time we're spending on impeachment should instead be used to present a new positive vision for the country that will help make Americans excited about the future and also puts us in better position to defeat Donald Trump in 2020. The fact is, zero Senate Republicans have signaled any interest in impeachment. This strikes many Americans like a ball game where we know what the final score is going to be. And we need to just get this over with so we can focus on solving the problems of the American people.
Andrew, I greatly appreciate your time. When your schedule is extraordinarily busy, obviously our signal goes well into Iowa. And again, thank you very much for coming on the air with us.
Thank you, Chad. Appreciate it. Iowans, the future is in your hands. February 3rd. Let's make it better for our kids.
That's Andrew Yang. I know we've been receiving texts throughout the interview on what Andrew had to say. If you'd like to continue that, you certainly can. We'll react to some of that, react to our conversation with Andrew. 651-989-9226.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.